Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Way. Back again with you guys for another episode of what is our match reaction series. Joining you after Arsenal's 2-1 victory against Sevilla in Spain. I'm joined by Umar. How you doing, mate? You good, Joel?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's always nice to get the 3 points, but those European games, when you're under the cosh, they're a nightmare, isn't it, TC? Honestly.
Yeah, we'll talk about why it went down that pathway and why it became that, because it could have been a very different game had Arsenal maybe gone on to get a third in the fixture. But I think we can be very pleased, because it's known the Estadio Ramon Pizjuan, Sanchez Pizjuan, as being a very difficult place to go to. Arsenal haven't won a game in Spain in the Champions League since 2006, which is quite a crazy statistic, which is actually the last time that Sergio Ramos played against Arsenal in a competitive competition, 17-odd years ago. So, yeah, some crazy stats are doing the rounds, and it was a really important victory. What did you make of the overall performance?
Don't get me wrong. It's not the most eye-catching of performances that we've ever had, but it's going to be like that when you go away from home, as you've just touched on, a difficult ground, hostile atmosphere. And what I like about this Arsenal team compared to last season is we don't mind doing the dirty work in away games, away from home, at home, against the biggest of teams. If you want to trouble us, if you want to cross the ball, if you want to be more physical, we can handle that. And I look at this Arsenal team and I look at it and I see an Arsenal team which thrives on these type of games, these big games. And I think last season, I think it's helped them a lot in terms of the experience of just falling short in the Premier League title race. And I look at this Arsenal team now, we keep saying it's a young group, and it is, but these players are now mature. You look at Bukayo Saka, you look at Tomiyasu, you look at Declan Rice. They're young when you talk about their age, but when you talk about their level of experience in playing at the highest level of games, international experience, these are top players and they can handle the pressure. And yeah, there was certain moments in this game against Sevilla when we were under the cosh. But if I'm being completely honest, I was never worried that Sevilla were going to unlock our defense. It was always going to be, if they're going to score another goal in this game, it's going to come, or it's going to stem from a mistake of our own. And luckily, it didn't. We'll probably speak about that as well.
But it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, very, very close. But you know what? I'm impressed. I'm left impressed today. Away from home, tough game. If I wouldn't have minded a draw, to be honest. Pre-game.
Really?
Yeah. The fact that we've gone there and we've got the 3 points, because we played Chelsea on the weekend as well, and that probably took a lot out of us. And to go to a hard game against a team which have a new manager now in place as well, hostile atmosphere, and to get 3 points and for most of the game not be really troubled, it's a top performance from Arsenal tonight.
Absolutely is. And it's a really important performance as well that's obviously going to, I think, refill the confidence jar, if you like, because it was, I think, damaged by that Chelsea defeat. You might say that, you know, the spirited comeback was, you know, a positive end to the game, but I heard that the Arsenal dressing room was very quiet after the Chelsea draw, despite them coming back. And that's a good sign, because, you know, they're going to be gutted that they didn't win that game, and they're going to be buzzing that they got the result tonight. Let's go into some individual performances, though. Now, I'm torn in the man of the match.
I think you're going to
agree. Did I say defeat? Well, with Chelsea. It felt like a defeat.
Yeah.
I'm torn between two players for man of the match.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go on. Guess who the two are.
Number one, Takiro Tomiyasu.
Yes.
And number two, Declan Rice.
Oh, no.
No.
Gabby Jesus was the other one.
Okay, because he went off, obviously he's produced the two moments of magic.
Assist and a goal, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. But obviously he went off, and I thought in the last 30 minutes, I thought Declan Rice was everywhere.
Oh, he was. He was stunning.
He was phenomenal.
But I'm sick of giving him man of the match, so I can't.
True. at least we've disagreed on something, which is
agreed. Oh, for me, my man of the match is Takiro Tomiyasu. I thought he was brilliant. Like, genuinely so, so good. And you talk about Declan Rice being everywhere. Yeah. Tomiyasu was all over. The first half, he was, like, playing centre-forward. Like, he was, like, up alongside Jesus. It was kind of mad. He had that, obviously, the opportunity with that shot, just dragging it slightly right of the post. But I thought he was excellent in the game. Clearance after clearance after clearance. He was strong. He stood up against some really tough opposition. Sevilla, a big experience side. As well, and they really he really stood up against them. I spoke to him after the game against PSV. I tweeted this, and I asked him about playing in that left back role. You know, his English wasn't, you know, the best in the world, and so he's used to giving kind of short, snappy answers. And he simply said, "I'm not Zinchenko." You know, when I asked him about playing that inverted role, because he was very humble about that, saying like he can't do the things that Zinchenko can do. But to be honest, he doesn't need to. If he just does what he does, which is that. He's going to be fine, and we're going to be fine having him there as well. So what did you make of his performance?
He's back to his best. He's back to his best in every single game, in every single cameo I've seen Takiro Tomiyasu produce this season. He's looked like the Takiro Tomiyasu of old. Commanding, physically strong, dominant, wins his duels. But going forward as well, there's something that has been added to his game. Mm. I'm not sure what it is, but he seems more comfortable. And we spoke about it. I don't think the right back position is his best position now. I think he's more suited to the left-hand side. And say, for example, if you want Saliba to get a rest, I think he can do a job in the centre-half position. But you know what? I think in the Champions League, I think this is going to be the team that Mikel Arteta decides to opt for. I think
maybe with Partey.
With Partey, I think when they signed Timber, I think Timber was brought in to start these big games against the best teams, whether it's domestically or whether it was in Europe. Unfortunately, he suffered that injury and he's now out for a sustained period of time. However, the next best player in line for these big moments, these big games, in my opinion, is Takiro Tomiyasu. Zinchenko brings you a lot in terms of what he offers with the ball. But I still think defensively, he's a liability. And I may be a bit harsh, but when you get to the latter stages of the Champions League and you play the better teams, the Real Madrids of this world, the Bayern Munichs, when you're up against the fast wingers, Vinicius, Leroy Sané, Koeman, etc., who would you rather have in your team, TC? Let me bring the question to you.
Give me the list again.
Timber, obviously, I'm just saying Zinchenko or Tomiyasu because I'm not including Timber right now because he's injured.
Tomiyasu right now, yeah. Obviously, Timber, I'd rather be fit and ready because I think he takes things to another level. But Tomiyasu, he's just consistent. You know, I don't remember a bad game, really. I'm sure there have been that I'm choosing to forget. But I think Leeds away last season wasn't great. But he's just consistent. He's just very professional, you know, just gets on with his job. No mistakes, but kind of like he doesn't want to put a foot wrong, that he'll just do the safe thing and
simplicity is good.
Simple's
sometimes
a great word. Yeah.
Like you see players who try to fire that pass in between the lines, and sometimes it can work, sometimes it doesn't work. But I like the fact when you have a player that just keeps it simple. If he wants to pass sideways, he'll do that. If he wants to play a 5-yard pass in front of him, he'll do that. But he doesn't make any mistakes. And I think that's the key aspect for me. And I think we have a good situation now. Obviously, we play Sheffield United on the weekend. And Zinchenko will probably come back in for that game. Because I think that's the type of team that Zinchenko is good against. It's a team that's going to come to the Emirates and is not really going to attack. It's going to play a deep block, and we probably need Zinchenko in that game. But Newcastle away next Saturday, Tomiyasu starts every single day of the week for me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I would start him at the weekend, I think, now, even though we're going up against a side where we're expected to dominate more possession. And yeah, I can see Zinchenko probably even coming back in for that game because of the opposition that we're going up against. But I'd start Tommy because I think he's not just good defensively. He's showing what he can do, you know, going forwards. And that's really, really, really important. talk about the two goal scorers, Martinelli, Jesus. Briefly, I didn't think Saka had the best game. I thought he was quite quiet.
He doesn't seem fully fit,
you know. You've got a few days break now until Sheffield United. You know, there's an argument that maybe, you know, you can rest him, you know, rest him in that game if you want and just take him out for a bit. But Martinelli and Jesus in particular was stunningly good in so many moments. Another Champions League goal. That's 3-3 in the group stage. He has overall a better than 1-2 record in Champions League history for his own career. If only he could replicate that, you know, in the Premier League. He had a couple of opportunities which he kind of curled a shot wide of the goal, but his goal was just a smashing finish. And you just want to see more of that, you know, in these games. So what did you make of those two?
I'm still in shock how he's assisted Martinelli for the first goal. Mm. And I say I'm still in shock, but should I really be surprised? Because it's Gabriel Jesus. He can produce that moment of magic in an instance. And I think it was a key moment in the game because it's heading to be 0-0 at halftime, and then you're gonna come out and then it could be a different game. But the fact that we've taken a goal into halftime, we're leading, I think it was a positive because then Arsenal come out, the dressing room team talk is a bit different. Mikel Arteta probably says to the boys, look, you've got a goal, Sevilla will come out. That's an opportunity to grab another, which we did. But that first assist that he's played into Martinelli, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. Mm. And then Martinelli, fair play to him because he's missed a similar chance in the first 10 minutes. But the second chance, if you give him that amount of space, if you give him that amount of time, he's not going to make the same mistake that he did the first time. And it's composure at its finest from Gabriel Martinelli, rounds the goalkeeper and puts in the back of the net. But the second goal from Gabriel Jesus, like, it's a bullet. It is a bullet into the top corner. And look, we always want more from Gabriel Jesus because we know his qualities. We at times ask him to be just as a number nine, but that's not him in a way. That is not him. I think if we want him to just stay as a number nine, I think we're going to be losing a lot out of his game, which is what he's good at. He offers us so much, TC. Like, the way he creates chances for others, the way he works his socks off, press resistant. There's so many words that I could describe Gabriel Jesus, but we're lucky to have him. And fingers crossed that injury is not too serious.
Yeah, it felt precautionary. I'm hoping that it was. I don't know if he was trying to waste time or something. He might be genuinely injured. It seemed a bit savvy to me, but I could be wrong. You know, I thought that Thomas Partey looked fine, but training on a Monday, but he didn't travel either. Apparently, they had a slight muscle injury. We'll see if he's fit enough for Saturday. But sorry, Ajit, we don't have the info. It's very, very new. Arteta is just literally speaking on my screen, and I can't listen into it while doing the show, but I'm sure we'll get some updates on that. And Kyle will be in the press conference, and you can get all the words from Arteta's presser on the football.london website. And of course, you'll be able to watch that back on the channel shortly. Speaking of which, if you've not already subscribed to the channel, we are less than 1,000 subs from 100K. As I say, we need that plaque on Umar's wall, people. So, just please, please, please do start subscribing. And if you're not already, if you're listening on Facebook, jump over as well to YouTube and subscribe if you're not already subbed, because it really does help. Wandering Minstrel is listening in saying it's a little niggle, apparently, which hopefully is not too serious. Then that's positive, at least. We need to talk about David Raya, because goodness gracious, this guy is not doing himself many favours, is he? Two big errors at the start. Obviously gave the ball away twice and opened up the second one in particular. We're lucky, very, very lucky that the pass into, I don't know if it was Enzirio or Campos in the middle in the end, but it didn't kind of land. And then at the end, the punch, like, that could have gone anywhere, like absolutely anywhere. So, and obviously Ramsdale, who has decided to fly out, you know, made that decision himself and the club have as well. He had to also was part of that decision-making process because, as we know, his wife has only just given birth and you've got a young newborn at home. And the decision after one training session could have been made for him to stay behind. But he went and wasn't used. I mean, I think that he's been very, very hard done by.
You know what? I saw a clip yesterday. You were obviously there at London Colney, and I'm not sure if you've seen that clip. Aaron Ramsdale, he seems a bit more upbeat.
Yes, like, he was. He was very chirpy as he ran out. Yeah.
Very chirpy. And do you know why I think that is? He's looking at these performances, DC. He's probably
it's ironic cheer. Is that what it is, do you think?
I think he's looking at these performances and there's a bit of hope now for Aaron Ramsdale. He's probably thinking to himself, look, if David Raya continues to not put in the best performances, if he continues to make mistakes that he shouldn't, there's a window here for me to get back into this team. Maybe Mikel Arteta will still try to be persistent. He'll probably still want David Raya in the team. But there's going to be noise from outside. There's going to be noise from the media. There's going to be noise from the Arsenal fans to bring Ramsdale back. And it's just a coincidence that after the mistake on the weekend, when Mudryk scored, he's back in the fold. He seems a bit more chirpier. He seems a bit more happy compared to those interviews that he was doing last week, I think it was, with the media, that he was a bit upset. It's not been the best of times for him.
Yeah, he said he was suffering, was his words.
Yeah, so it's not been the best of times for him. So, look, fair play to Aaron Ramsdale. I think he just needs to keep doing what he's doing on the training ground. Just keep working hard, giving Mikel Arteta food for thought, because David Raya, man, he does worry me. He does worry me. I don't know what he's doing for the last chance that Sofia have. He does not look confident. And I said to you before the show, if that goal goes in, TC, is there any way back for David Raya? And you said to me, you still think Mikel Arteta would have played him. But with that mistake,
just because I've come to learn his stubbornness.
With that mistake, that's a rare mistake though. If he parries into the net,
I think you know that Ramsdale, when he has the ball, he plays those kind of direct, low-driven passes through the middle of the field into the centre midfield. We've missed that. Look, it is worth pointing out that Raya's long ball did lead to our second goal. It landed at a Sevilla player's head, who then headed it straight to Declan Rice, I think it was. But, you know, it's worth pointing that out. He made a couple of good stops as well. It's worth adding, so we're balanced. But I just can't help but not think that Ramsdale does better than what we've seen. I know that statistically, all of the metrics are saying passing-wise, Raya is outperforming Ramsdale. Did you see the graphic of like the six games against one another? Have you seen it?
No, I've not seen it. But like when you talk about passing, most of the passes have been to our defenders' feet. The distribution has not been out of this world. I've not seen the passes into midfield, as you just touched on. I've not seen the passes out wide to our wingers like Saka or Martinelli. They've been simple passes. And okay, I know what Mikel Arteta is trying to do. He's trying to replicate what Manchester City do with Ederson as their goalkeeper. Allow teams to come onto them. And then he passes into midfield. But even then, when he does it, he worries me. I don't know what it is. Could be a confidence issue or I don't know.
Yeah, well, this Luzter on Twitter, at Luzter, sent me this tweet this morning because it was circulating and he wanted our views on it and things like that. And you can see there that passes, passing accuracy, long passes, successful long passes, long passing accuracy, touches, possession lost, and possession lost percentage all fall in Reyes. This is before tonight's game, it's worth pointing out. All fall in his favour. And I see this. But I think there are sometimes, and you know, I know I'm a big stat man and I love my stats and things like that. And I think they do tell you a story. But I never want to completely discount what you can see. And, you know, what they don't show you is some of the individual passes that are misplaced. Like, I don't remember Ramsdale misplacing passes to this frequency in such high danger scenarios. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Raya may complete more passes and Ramsdale may lose more passes, but what the stats aren't showing you there is the individual kind of nature of some of the lost passes in Raya's case, which seem far more high profile and far, you know, so that's the problem with those stats in that context. As always, you need to apply the context to statistics. PSV and Lens drew, correct, in their game, 1-1, which means that Arsenal do go back to the top of that group. It is still relatively tight. What I would say is that, you know, we're 4 points clear of third, which is a really good thing, for obvious reasons, with two home games in the last three games. If I'd have said that you can have two wins and a loss from the first three and two of them away from home, would you have taken that from me, or are you disappointed with the defeat?
Yeah, of course I'm disappointed with the defeat, but it's been a long time since we've been in the Champions League. So, look, I'd be a bit naive if I thought it's going to go smooth sailing, because it rarely does when you support this football club. But I think you look at these away fixtures, and it was always that if Arsenal can pick up a one away win from their three away games, they'd be in a good position to qualify out of this group. We've got a massive win away from home against Sevilla. So we're in a good place. We've got, I think, Sevilla at home in our next game. We should be able to do the job at home, fingers crossed. And I think we play Eindhoven after that away from home. And we finish off with Lens, I think it is.
Yeah.
So we're in a good place. We're in a good place.
And we are. We absolutely are in a much, much better place than we were so after that Lens game, because I remember coming away from that stadium not only with a dented car, but with a dented confidence, because, it was frustrating. Very frustrating indeed. We'll finish off by talking about kind of what this means going into the next game, because we've seen some performances like, you know, if Jesus is out, what do you do? Havertz came on and, you know, was industrious again and proving off the ball. He's an asset. Odegaard had a very quiet game again, quite a poor game. And I actually was really happy with the sub that Arteta made. I love the fact that Havertz was the guy that came on, not Vieira or Smith Rowe, but Havertz was the one that came on for Odegaard.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think he's lacking? Yeah, because some people say it could be because it's a new position that he finds himself in, but I'm not sure.
What do you mean, new position? I don't think he's playing in that.
That's what I mean. I look at social media and people are talking about the fact that they think Mikel Arteta, he's found a new role for him in the team, and it's a bit more reserved.
It's not working.
Yeah, it's definitely not working, because you're not seeing the same Martin Odegaard of last season, in a way. And he was quiet again today. I think he plays a pass into Bukayo Saka, and it's a hospital pass, to be honest.
Yeah,
and Bukayo Saka gets knocked. I think it's by Kuna. I'm not sure who it was.
Yeah, Kuna. Yeah.
And I'm at that stage. I'm thinking, oh, please don't get injured, Bukayo Saka, from this pass. But yeah, he's not looking. He's not looking his best right now, and it could be an opportunity to freshen up on Saturday.
So you drop him.
Just because he's captain doesn't mean...
Headline, Umar drops Odegaard from Arsenal 11. Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's not necessarily dropping him. I just think if there's a time to give him a breather, to give him a bit of a rest, it's this Saturday against Sheffield United.
You've got West Ham in the cup. You can rest him there.
Yeah.
But... I'd play him, and I'm biased because he's my favourite player.
I know. I should have asked you.
But... You're right. He's not been as good. And I have a little concern about him. I think he had a really great chance to score that shot that obviously kind of curled the effort over. Is it because Partey's not there? Are you lacking? Is it Jorginho's presence? Is it something to do with that? He needs to find a way of getting himself into the game a bit more. We know the guy's quality. You know what he's got. You know what you can offer. I think get a goal, get an assist. You'll see him suddenly turn because he can do great things. And I still thought he was good in certain moments in kind of the distribution and the way in which we were playing around the Sevilla box in the first 30 or so minutes. He was good in that moment. But I'd certainly want to see more. But I did like that Arteta was proactive enough to take him off and bring Havertz.
He's done well this season. I need to give credit to Arteta because I think we were criticising him a lot last season. Mm. In-game management needs a lot of work. But this season, I think he's got it right.
Yeah, it's still certainly, I think, can be better. I think, I would have brought on Havertz sooner against Chelsea and things like that. But I think he's certainly being a lot more proactive. He's braver, I think, with his changes, and it's paying off. So, yeah, certainly good. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, just a good win. Just a good win. Look, I think we're not playing our best this season. And I keep hearing people saying, oh, this has not been the best of starts performance-wise. But I keep saying to people, look, it doesn't matter how you start the season. What matters is by the time it comes to April, May, March, you're there and thereabouts in the biggest of competitions. You're on the coattails in the Premier League title race. And what I like about this Arsenal team is whatever the circumstances, they can get over the line and get points on board. And I think that's a key aspect. That for me is what I've taken from the first opening months of this season. Look, we can play better. We can perform at a high level, but that will come. That will come. Just enjoy the win. It's nice to finally get a win in the Champions League away from home. I think it's the first time since we won away from home since we beat Basel.
Really? What, in Europe?
Away from home, in the Champions League. Yeah.
Wow.
It must be, long time. But Perez scored a hat-trick in that game, I think.
Perez? I thought you said Perez. I was like, wow, that's a long time ago. Yeah, he did.
There's a stat for you.
That's unbelievable. That's ridiculous. That's silly. That's absolutely ridiculous. Very interesting indeed. I'm sure that there'll be plenty more still to come. We've got one more away game in the Champions League, this group stage away at PSV, of course. We've got two more home games against Lens, where hopefully we can get some revenge. You know, there's a video that circulated after Lens beat us in their dressing room. I'm sure Arteta will be showing the players that before that game. And then, of course, Sevilla as well, which we have in a couple of weeks' time. And I'll be there for that. So I look forward to putting a microphone in front of Sergio Ramos and being like, so how was it when Thierry Henry ran past you?
I don't think I like that.
No, I don't think I'm brave enough to do that, to be honest. But Umar, thank you for your time. I very much appreciate it.
Always appreciate it, bro.
Absolutely. Fantastic win this evening. Chatbox, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. And if you've joined us late, we've talked about pretty much everything that we could have done in this game. Raya to Jesus to Martinelli to Tomiyasu. So rewind if you're tuning in late and listen back. Please do subscribe. As I said, we're very, very close to hitting that magical 100K. So thank you, everybody, that continued to support the channel. We'll be bringing you, of course, plenty of updates and content leading up to the Sheffield United game this weekend, including Mikel Arteta's press conference ahead of that. You can watch back Mikel Arteta's post-match presser from tonight a little bit later on. Fingers crossed. Is that right, Umar? They'll be able to watch that back, yeah? Right.
Yeah,
lovely stuff. Thank you for listening. Drop a like, subscribe, leave a comment on anything we talked about today that you've thought provocatively about. So please do leave that below. We'll see you again soon. And as always, keep following us down the Arsenal way.